Everyone, please rise. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Pastor. We don't want them to part. We want them to rise. Good morning and welcome. It is such a privilege and an honor to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Pastor Don brings us God's message this morning from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Verily, verily, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he had spoken to them. This is the word of God. You may be seated.
Be to God for his word. We're going to pray, then I'll make an announcement. Father, I thank you for the great privilege that is ours to be able to study the word of God together. We ask that you help us to do that today, that your presence might be among us, that we may understand even better this great picture of the shepherd and the sheep and the sheepfold and all that you're trying to teach us, that we may apply it to our lives, because we are your sheep if we know you, Savior. Pray that you help us understand some of the introductory thoughts here so that we're prepared for what will come ahead eventually as we spend some time in John 10. We pray that you would bless us in a powerful way. During this time, that eternal things might be accomplished for your honor and glory and praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I made an announcement last week, and I was hoping that by this week we'd be saying, we're making plans. But you remember I said we were going to wait 2 weeks because the other shoe may drop. And it did. I don't know if you noticed that. But all the orders that were issued by the governor have now been issued by the health department. So it's probably going to be a couple more weeks before we can go back to a full schedule. But we are monitoring that. Adam and I have spent much time discussing it. Deacons will be involved in this, be assured. And it will come to you when we can do it. But we are thinking that way. Don't plan on next week being a week of full, as much as I wanted it to be. To be a full schedule. So if you want to know more about that, you can talk to me about that later. Now I got to get my thing up here. By the way, my asthma is kicked up. So if you're afraid that it may not be asthma, it might be something else, you can keep your distance. I'll try to keep mine. Don't think it is. I've had that, you know, the brain scan, where they shoot you in the head to find out what your temperature is. I read a thing that said, person said, when they do that, it wipes out your memory. If you went to the store for something like bread and milk, came home with coffee and chocolate and stuff like that. I don't think it wipes out your memory, but I've passed all those, and so this is just, this happens about to me every year. When the furnace goes on, and sometimes it's more intense than others. This year, there's a lot of stuff. I can explain a lot of stuff, but I won't. But I don't understand about what is going on, but if I don't improve much in the beginning of this week, I'm going to go to the doctor. I keep saying that, putting it off two or three more days. Anyway, we are going to be looking at one of the precious pictures in the Bible. We are going to eventually go back and finish up as far as we can the Sermon on the Mount. I really worked on it at the beginning of this week, and unless the Lord lights my fire, I can't seem to preach it. So it seemed to me we need to do something else. So I thought about my dear friend, the Gospel of John. Been around me very long, you know, I really love this book. I really looked at it for the first time when I went to Moody Bible Institute. Had read it, We really looked at it when I had a class in the Gospel of John with G. Coleman Luck, who's now with the Lord. And he did a great job, lit my fire with this book. There's some wonderful pictures in the Gospel of John. And I think that's probably why I like it so much, because the pictures are tied to who Jesus is. There are two of them very important in this chapter 10. I am the door. By me, if anyone enter in, he can go in and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. Both statements are statements of his deity. Both statements are statements of his identity. But prior to making that, he introduces the subject in chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. So there's some introductory stuff here that we need to get in order to really get the blessing of those statements and other things he's going to say. So we're going to try to understand that today. We face a significant obstacle when we try to understand the Bible. Biggest obstacle is we are Western people, and the Bible is an Eastern book. There are cultural things in the Bible that we need to understand if we're going to understand what he's saying. Not the least of which, probably the most important one, is the picture of the Eastern shepherd. There's nowhere more evident, it is no more evident that we have this problem than our text for the day, which is the first six verses of John 10. Where Jesus is introducing an analogy. The analogy is just a picture of that he wants to use to demonstrate a little better who he is. It's going to serve as like the hub for this whole chapter here. John 10 is a chapter about the good shepherd. When we were teaching the Gospel of John to the junior hires, we tried to title each chapter so you could think through the Gospel of John. And you can do that very well with John's Gospel. But John 10 is a special one. John's 10 is the great shepherd. Shepherds and sheep, shepherding were commonplace in Lord's Day, not commonplace today. But even if it was commonplace today, even if we were in a land of sheep farms out here, they don't do it the way the Eastern shepherd did it. The Eastern shepherd led his sheep. Biggest difference, Eastern shepherd led his sheep, went before him, led him all over the place. The Western shepherd has sheepdogs, and they drive the sheep. So there's a real difference to that approach. So what we're looking at this, we're going to learn shepherding from the great shepherd, the good shepherd himself. So that's what we're going to try and figure out here in chapter 10. First part, the picture of the shepherd, shepherding verses 1 to 5. And then the second part, problem of the men. Those guys he introduces in verse 1, he's going to come back to. By the way, they're identified. If you realize there's no chapter divisions in the original, and you go back to the end of chapter 9, you find that there's some Pharisees throwing people out of the synagogue. Do you think maybe Jesus is talking about them? I think he is. But anyhow, he talks about the issue of the picture of shepherding, dealing with how the shepherds work. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, if you have a most assuredly, I always say this, most assuredly does not translate amen, amen. Truly, truly, I say unto you, or verily, verily, I say unto you, that's better than most assuredly. But anyhow, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the gate, by the door, is the shepherd of the sheep. So he's going to talk to us about shepherding. First lesson in shepherding is that we can identify who the people are who are coming to the fold, the sheepfold, by the way they enter. They're first the guys that climb over the wall. Those guys are the thieves and the robbers. The word thief is the word from which we get kleptomaniac. And the word robber gives the idea of more violence. I'm jumping ahead of my notes, I can see here. But anyhow, that's who we're dealing with. It's probably interchangeable because he uses both. You know, he's a thief and a robber, so it's both things. And it's probably not that much difference between them. But anyway, that's the idea. But we're talking about a sheepfold. A sheepfold was just an enclosure in which they kept sheep. Sometimes it was between buildings. Most of the time it was out in the open. Maybe it would be a wall around an outside thing where they could put the sheep in there and one shepherd spend the night with the sheep and protect the sheep. Sheep from many flocks. Could be a hedge around. It was an enclosed place where the sheep were kept. The people who do not enter by the door, but climb into the fold some other way, they are thieves and robbers. They have a personal agenda. That's what he's talking about. They're in it for themselves. They want to get something from the sheep. They want to do harm to the sheep. They don't want to take care of the sheep. So these are not good people. You can imagine if you're there and you somehow are connected in John 9 to those Pharisees and he's telling these, making this story, talking about who he is and contrasting himself with them, they're already realizing they're not getting a good side of the appearance of this sheikh. It's not good. But there's some background here you need to know. One is that God enjoys the picture of the shepherd. Over and over again in the Old Testament, he calls himself a shepherd. You need to realize shepherds were not highly thought of in that day. If you were here when we were preaching on the angels singing to the shepherds announcing the Lord's birth, it was kind of unusual because shepherds never went to the synagogue. Shepherds were involved on weekends taking care of sheep. Shepherds, a lot of them had trouble with the difference between mine and thine, if you know what I'm talking about. So shepherds were thought as like the little of the dirty, the low of the low. And yet the one picture that God loves the most to describe himself, Jesus Christ included in that, is the shepherd. Now there's some great statements to bad shepherds of God's sheep in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 34, 1 to 4. By the way, we're reading Ezekiel again this year. Still don't understand it. Don't hold your breath. When the Lord comes back and all that happens, then we'll say, that's what he meant. But I don't really understand all of Ezekiel. It was funny, my father-in-law. We were over and seeing my father-in-law last week. And he said, I have a question in Ezekiel. I said, good luck. Ezekiel's tough. Now, here's Ezekiel's statement. The word of the Lord came to me. The word of Yahweh came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? I have to point this out. You know the number one job for a shepherd? Feed the sheep. Over and over again. Do you know that you find the word, the Greek word for shepherd, which is pastor, poimenos, or poimeno, if it's a verb, and it means to feed. Every time you find it in the Bible, they translate it, feed. It's found in John 21, when Jesus says to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, same word. You find it all over the place. Pastors are to feed. That's their first and foremost responsibility. That also was a problem with these shepherds in the Old Testament. They were supposed to feed the flock, and they didn't. Instead, they took from the flock. You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and hardship you have ruled them. So they were not doing a good job. There are several other passages. I put them in here and I took them out because it made it way too long. But the Bible's all full of this. The great shepherd of the sheep will one day deal with unfaithful shepherds. I think that's an important point. Shepherding, being a pastor, is an important job. I think it's a job you have to take only if you're compelled to do it. Not because you want to, but because you can't do anything else but because God wants you to. That's my opinion. I know there are people today who say, well, there is no such thing as a call to the ministry, but they are mistaken. Because the Bible talks about calls. But then they say, well, that's not normative. And I always say, why not? I don't understand. I think that you have to, if you want to shepherd the flock, you need to kind of be sure the Lord wants you to do that. Because he doesn't, it's not a haphazard job. It's not one he throws you into it. In this immediate context, he's talking about those Pharisees, those religious leaders, who set themselves up as the rulers of God's people, rulers of the synagogue, who were throwing his sheep out of the fold. And of course, they threw out the man who was born blind and had been healed, because they didn't want to hear him say, well, maybe you want to believe in Jesus too. Oh no, we don't want that. So they threw him out. Well, then he makes a generalization. You know, you're one of those people, and your desire is to destroy what God has. On one hand, we have the people who climb up over the walls. On the other hand, we have the person who enters by the door. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, we're going to spend a lot of time learning about the shepherd of the sheep in verse 2. He's the one who is the leader. He's the one who is the fulfillment of those things, those passages. In Ezekiel, the shepherd concerning shepherd's concern is not personal gain, but rather the welfare of the sheep. It's difficult to know how the Pharisees understood that, but there's several verses that come immediately to mind. And I don't know if we put these together always when we talk about the shepherd of the sheep. One is Psalm 80 in verse 1. Give ear, O shepherds of Israel. I think I lost the first word, the first letter. You who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. And of course, the one who dwells between the cherubim is God himself. He shines forth and he's the shepherd. Isaiah 40, 10 through 11. I love this picture because in Isaiah 40, the Lord is interested in comforting Israel, comforting Judah. And he says to Isaiah, get in the mountain and say to the people, behold your God, look at your God. And Isaiah 40 is a great word picture of how great and majestic and wonderful God is. And he starts out with these two verses. Behold, in other words, look at this. The Lord God comes with might and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. How's that for a scary thought? Here's God coming and he is great and powerful and his might's with him. And his recompense is coming, you know, so if you sin against him, you're in trouble. All these great pictures of this great, mighty, judging God. And then all of a sudden he says this. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. I love that picture because you see God is great, big, wonderful God. He's also our shepherd, who cares about our needs. Sometimes we think, well, God is so great and marvelous. How can he possibly care about me? Because of that, verse 11, he's that shepherd who takes care of his sheep. Psalm 23:1 is a great verse. This is David's great verse of triumph. I do believe it's written at the end of his life, though I can't prove that. But David wrote, the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd, I shall not want. Leads right into Psalm 23, which we sang the new 23rd today. To understand a little bit of that, we are his shepherd. He is our leader. David says, God's been my shepherd. Lord has been my shepherd. Perhaps these are only allusions. I've heard people say, well, he's just alluding to these things. But the allusions point out that the Lord Jesus Christ is Yahweh, the Old Testament. Because if he's the fulfillment of that, which he surely is, then he is Yahweh who is shepherding God's sheep. Then in verses 3 through 5, we find our second lesson in shepherding. To the shepherd of the sheep, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And when he has brought them all out of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. So you got a great picture. When you read those verses, you find two identifications here. You're going to find how you can know who the shepherd of the sheep is, and you're going to find out how you can know who the sheep of the shepherd are. And it seems almost circular, but it's wonderful. First, the shepherd is the one who the sheep hear. The fact that the shepherd, the sheep hear his voice is a crucial one in this chapter. It's used three more times in specific ways. Let me give you examples of that. Verse 4, this is where I wish I could read, because, you know, when I used to preach messages like this, say, well, just look in your text, and we'd look down the text and read it. But you're going to have to trust me, it's there, and check it out later. But here's verse 4, 10:4. And when he is the shepherd. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That's part of what we're reading right now. But then we read again in verse 16. So he's mentioned in verse 3. It's mentioned again in verse 4. It's mentioned in verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear me, my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. You know who those guys are? That's us.
Amen.
We're the Gentiles. We're the second flock that are going to be part of the first flock, God's flock. Finally, verse 27, we read, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The Eastern Shepherd spent a lot of time with his sheep, all the time. He led them from pasture to pasture, didn't drive them, he led them. From place to place to eat, and place to place to drink, water to water, to find those things for his sheep. It meant that they got to know him pretty well. The sheep got to know the shepherd, and the shepherd got to know the sheep. And the sheep got to know and trust the shepherd. What's really interesting about this picture is he said, in the keeper of the sheep, the door, he's going to open the door and let the sheep come out. Now, in that sheepfold, there's probably 4, 5, 6, 7 flocks of sheep. So how do you find your sheep? Well, if it's this country, we go and look for brands, right? On the side of animals. That's how we determine, you know, when they used to do the roundups back in the Old West, they would take all their cattle, they brand them when they were young, and then when they finally come back to round them up and take them down to the market, they would take them all down in one big flock. You'd have like 4 or 5 ranchers together that would do that. And then they would go through and they would sort their cattle by their brands. Here's a different thing. You come in at night, you're the shepherd, and you bring your flock. And so you come out in the morning and you want your flock. How are you going to get them out of there? How are you going to know each one? I understand this is what they did. They would call their sheep. You spread out, one over there, one over there, one over here, and you call your sheep and they come to you. And not only that, but this is really interesting. Not only did he call, he isn't like, you know, when the caller said, "Tsu-wee," like pigs. I don't know what you'd say for sheep. But, you know, they all come because they know his voice. But he calls his sheep by their name. Did you see that? God, when he calls his sheep, he calls them individually. Now, I don't think the Eastern Shepherd always did that. But God does. He calls us. And he calls us by our name. And we come out and we follow him. And if you belong to that shepherd, you didn't go to that shepherd by mistake. You went to that shepherd because you didn't like the other guy. You didn't know him. You were afraid of him. And so if some stranger comes along and decides he's going to get clever and call sheep too, and he calls the sheep, none of them were going to come to him because they know his name. So it's an important thing. He knew his people. He knew his sheep, and he called them, and they knew him. And they come out. I think it's a wonderful picture. Can you see that picture in your head? Here's the Lord calling his sheep. Hey, come here. calls you by name. Yeah, I'll go. I'd like that idea. That picture is just very, it does something for my heart. Second, the shepherd is the one who knows the sheep. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He knows all about them. We read here that he calls them by name. He knows each one. He calls them individually and he calls them collectively as sheep, but also individually to jobs he wants them to do. I am always thinking, I don't know how this fits. I don't know if this rings a bell in your head. But I think of John 21 and Jesus and Peter. You remember Peter? And he tells Peter what's going to happen to him. And he says, you know, when you were young, you got dressed, went where you wanted to go. When you get old, somebody will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Unless we have some creative people coming up with some creative exposition. John gives us a divine editorial comment. I'm always thankful he did, because I'd hate to see the books written on this if he hadn't. He said, by this he let them know what death he would die to glorify Christ. Then after he told him that, he said, now Peter, you follow me. And I think they started walking. We're not told they walked, but he said, come follow me. So as he's walking away, Peter turns around. This is the only way I can see it happening, because he notices the man who is not named in the Gospel of John, who is John, the beloved disciple, is following too, back there a ways. And he says, well, Lord, you talked about my future. What about his? And I love this statement from Jesus. Jesus said, hey, if it's my will for him to live until I come back, what's that to you? You follow me. I have two applications. They may not apply. You can argue with me about it. But I think this is how it works. Sometimes when God calls his sheep, one follows one way and one follows another way. John and Peter did not follow in the same way. You know that, right? Peter followed him to Rome, eventually, and was put to death. John followed him to the Isle of Patmos and wrote the book of Revelation, served in the church of Ephesus. God used him over and over again. He never died a martyr's death, as far as we know. A different way. But they both were following the shepherd. You get the point I'm trying to make? There's an individual thing here. I always think of this wonderful statement in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. I've got to tell you a story connected to this too. But anyhow, when we lived out east, we sometimes come over here. When my mother died, we came across for her funeral. She was in the process of dying. She ended up dying before we got there. We drove all the way from Enfield across Canada, came into Port Huron, thank you. And came across the Blue Water Bridge and came in and you know, they'd ask you, who are you? What's your citizenship? Why are you coming? This is before you had to produce a passport. And we told him, and he said, how do I know your kids are U.S. citizens? I don't know. So he said, I actually thought he wasn't going to let us in. This verse means a lot to me, because I was thinking about when you cross the bridge into heaven, and you're standing at the gate, and it's not St. Peter. Don't find that in the Bible. Somebody says, why do you belong here? Here's your answer. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are his. Amen. They're not going to say to you, how can you prove you belong here? They're going to say, we know you. Come on in. How? Because you have come to him by faith. That's wonderful. The Lord knows who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. So it's a wonderful truth. We can know that we belong to him. That makes us his sheep. And following him shows that we are his sheep. Paul has a special kind of knowing here, more than omniscient knowing. It's a special kind of knowing, a knowing of relationship. And again, I think about Moses here. Lord said to Moses, this is when, before he asked to see his glory, Moses is discussing with the Lord, because the Lord says to him first, I'm not going to go with you because those people are stiff-necked and I'll kill them on the way. And Moses is basically saying, Lord, how are they going to know we are your people if you're not with us? And Lord, how are we going to make it if you don't go with us? We can't go anywhere without you. And so the Lord says, and he says, if you know me and you love me, do this for me. So then the Lord replies. So the Lord, Yahweh, said to Moses, I will also do this that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. And I know about you by name. Don't you want God to say that to you?
Amen.
If God could speak to you from heaven right now, what would you want him to say? I think I want him to say, I know you by name. You're special in my sight, and I know you by name. God did that to Moses. God does that for us. Third, the shepherd is the one whom the sheep follow. You know, not only does this identify the shepherd, it identifies the sheep. The sheep are the ones who follow the shepherd. How do we know the shepherd? He's the one the sheep follow. How do we know for a sheep? We follow the shepherd. Well, it seems circular. No, it's not. Because you see, there has to be something that works, happen to you to make you a sheep. Not everybody's a sheep. Not everybody can understand. We're going to find that out in a minute. A bunch of people aren't going to understand a bit of what he's talking about. He's talking about in a figure, not in a parable. Bad translation. There's a word for parable in the Bible, you know, in the New Testament. It's not the word parable. It is a figure of speech. You can apply with, excuse me, to all manner of figures. There's lots of figures of speech, you know, allusions and stuff. You can do a lot of things with speech. And so that word is very broad. He spoke to them in verse 6 with a figure of speech, but they didn't understand the thing he was saying. Do you know what that says? Still in thunder for my second point. But do you know what that says? They weren't a sheep. How do you become a sheep? Put your trust in Jesus Christ and he saves you and you're his sheep. That's the wonderful truth. And that's what we can do. So what about the others? The other guys and the robbers and the thieves and all those guys. Well, he talks about it in verse 5. A stranger, the shepherd, the sheep will not follow. But they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. I've had the experience being a pastor for many years, where someone will come to me and say, you know, I got this thing in the mail from somebody, and I was reading it, and it just doesn't ring true. And it doesn't ring true because it isn't true. It's false teaching. They say, I don't know what's wrong with it, but I just know it isn't right. That person who said that, by the way, was a sheep. And they heard a strange voice, and it wasn't the voice of the shepherd. So they say, hey, you know, there's something wrong with this thing. And there was. So it showed that they were sheep by the fact that they wouldn't hear the voice of a stranger. What about the other guys, the robbers and the thieves? Jesus talked about them. They're going to, you know, a stranger, they will not follow. They will flee from him because they are a stranger. The problem of the men. I missed something in the middle there, and I do want to say this. Back in my first church, we were doing some evangelism on some people who had been somehow had come to the building, to the church prior to my coming, and had made a profession of faith or something. And so one of the guys said, I'll take you to visit them. And I visited this guy. Now, before we went there, I said, what do you know about this guy? Well, he was somehow related. This was Doug, by the way. But he was somehow related to Doug. Collier, and I can't remember Doug's last name. Conklin, thank you. Doug Conklin. And he was somehow related to him. And there were some issues, moral issues and other things in his life. Marriage wasn't doing well. A lot of things weren't doing well for him. So we went in there, and I started talking to him. And I led into a gospel presentation, started presenting the gospel to him. He said, you don't need to do that because I'm saved. Said, really, how do you know? He said, I'm saved because this evangelist came through 15 years ago 10, 15 years ago. And he came to visit me and he presented a little bit of what you're presenting. And he said, you pray this prayer and you're saved. And I prayed the prayer and he told me I was saved. I said, okay, tell me what you did after that. Nothing. Nothing. You never went to church. You never prayed. You never read your Bible. You never studied. You never did anything like that. No. So, you know, I have real questions whether you're saved. And he said, well, why do you say that? So, well, I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just trying to tell you that my Bible says if you're a sheep, you follow the shepherd. When have you followed him? See, he heard the very best news ever published. Something for nothing. Eternal life for nothing. And that is truly how we come to Christ. But you see, if we really come to Christ, we really understand who he is. The Spirit of God works in our heart. We begin to understand we're dealing with God himself. He changes us. It's the nature of sheep to follow the shepherd. He had no nature of sheep. He didn't want to follow him. So it's important that you look at this and say, am I a sheep? How do I know I'm a sheep? Well, I know I'm a sheep because at one point I put my faith in Jesus Christ. But where's my faith today? Where's the evidence in my life? The Bible's full of that evidence. Have you noticed that? The Lord knows. He has the foundation, firm foundation of God stands, the foundation of God stands firm, having this seal. He knows who are his, and those that name the name of Christ flee ungodliness, flee wickedness. Why? Because, well, you gotta do that, be saved. No. Because if you really know the Lord, you don't want any part of sin if you can avoid it. That's part of that deal. So the problem of the men, the last part, verse 6. I would just challenge you when we read this verse, think about, put yourself in the place of those Pharisees who are already pretty upset because Jesus told them, you know, if you knew you were sinners, you would be saved. But if you can't see it, then you're blind. But then he comes in and starts this discussion and the sheep and the shepherd. And look at what he says in verse 6. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. They couldn't hear it. Now we just heard the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. They follow the shepherd, and the sheep know the shepherd, and the shepherd knows the sheep. In verse 6, you've got somebody that's outside of that, don't you? He doesn't know the shepherd. They can't hear what the shepherd said. They don't understand it. By the way, it's not hard to understand, is it? I thought it was interesting. They can't understand it because they don't understand what he was talking about at all. He's talking about God. He's talking about himself. He's talking about what he's going to do. And he's going to talk more about that in the chapter ahead, but we're not going to go that far. But he spoke to them in a speaker and a figure, and they couldn't understand it. So now we're going to try to apply this. Some basic thoughts. First, I always put this in because I realize you're not preachers, you're not pastors. But you may someday, Lord might tap you on the shoulder, you might become one. And I think you need to know this. First, for those of us who are leaders of his flock, and that applies, I think, to deacons too and elders. And we don't have any elders in this church other than pastors, but that applies to that lead. God doesn't let leaders lead his flock and doesn't hold them accountable. He does. I think that part sometimes we forget, especially when we're electing leaders and when people are taking up that place, they don't realize that's important. So first, for those of us who are leaders of his flock, it's serious business to be a shepherd. Do you know the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:4, right? I think so. Peter's talking. He said, I'm an elder. I'm speaking to you elders who am also an elder. And then he talks about our shepherding and how we shepherd. Then he says this, and when the chief shepherd appears, he's going to come and he's going to check out your shepherding. Now, you know, when I went into ministry, I was scared to death by some of those passages. I'm now near the end of my ministry, I think, pastoral ministry. I'm getting there. And I'm scared to death of those passages. I don't like them. They're not fun to think about. God is going to pass judgment on my shepherding. Christ, the great shepherd, will appear. And he's going to give rewards to those who are faithful. And I want to be found faithful. But I don't know. I find that a very scary thing. But if you say to me, why are you doing it? Don't have a choice. That's what God wants me to do. And I think everyone who is doing it needs to look at it that way. Granted, he's a shepherd of the sheep. But if you can think, if you can be an under shepherd, you better make sure that he's called you to that place, put you in that place. There's this passage in Jeremiah. Jeremiah is also one that has a lot of those shepherd passages. It talks about the bad shepherds in Israel. Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Now, there's a whole lot more in that passage if you want to look it up. But that's enough. Woe to the shepherds. Our problem is woe is not a word that we see, we connect with judgment. But that's a pronouncing of judgment on those shepherds, those leaders that are not leading the people right. And all that doesn't apply to you, but it really applies to me. So it scared me a lot. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. He does not want shepherds who are going to destroy sheep. Second, he also wrote all to all of us, not just shepherds, under shepherds. Are we his sheep? That's the question. Not only did the Lord teach us who the shepherd is, he told us who the sheep are. You know the great badge of sheep? How you can identify a sheep? He follows a shepherd. He follows the shepherd. I think that's an amazing statement. You look at your life. Have you been following the shepherd? Now, I'm not saying look at somebody else's life. Look at your own life. Are you following the shepherd? Are you anxious to do what he wants you to do? Do you know him as your savior? That's the important part. Two true sheep know the Lord's voice. So if you heard the Lord's voice recently. See, the Lord's voice is found in his word, by the way. You know, we always want to hear voices, but the voice is in the Bible. He speaks to us from his word, gave us the Holy Spirit so we can hear his voice, and we need to be listening to his voice, looking for it. True sheep know the Lord. They know who he is, what he's about, what he wants, what he's doing. They desire to know him even better. And true sheep follow the shepherd. That's the clear teaching of this passage. Years ago, I thought I skipped it, but I didn't. Talked about that guy. I want to say all that because, you know, one of the great passages in the Bible is the 23rd Psalm. I have done many funerals in my lifetime. Almost all of them, if not all of them, the 23rd Psalm was read in. I wish I could say that I knew for sure that every person I buried fit. What amazes me, the 23rd Psalm isn't about death. It's about life. So David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't say that. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with me. He's with me. I will fear no evil. His rod and his staff will comfort me. Just a great passage. You know, if you're sheep, that applies to you. If you're not, it does not. We need to make sure we're sheep. I think you probably all are. But it doesn't hurt us to re-up, does it? To look at these things and say, yes, I can see where I have followed him. Because that's the great evidence that you're a sheep. There's much, much more in John 10. And as we take breaks from Sermon on the Mount, we're going to spend some time in this chapter because it's a great chapter. We're going to find the great shepherd, the good shepherd, lays down his life on behalf of the sheep. So, the question is, Are you a sheep and do you know the shepherd? That's what this asks us right now. Let's pray, then we're going to sing, He Leadeth Me. Father, I thank you for the great privilege we have of having a shepherd like you. You have done so much for us, and we deserve none of it. I thank you for that. Pray that you would help us to evaluate ourselves and our own relationship with you and how well the quality of our following. That at least as we look at the end of our life, we can say, many things have gone this way, that way, the other way. Took me a while to get some things caught up, figure some stuff out. But overall, I can see that I followed you. And that's where my confidence lies. Pray that you encourage us in that. Pray that you bless us as we sing this hymn and as we go out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 461, He leadeth me.